I'm Maria with the Why, and welcome to Startup to Success, where I navigate through the whys behind entrepreneurship for anyone looking to start or scale their business.
Hello, welcome to Startup to Success with Maria. My guest today is Dr. Benjamin Gibson, a certified functional specialist who helps entrepreneurs sleep better, lose weight, and get stronger bones after 16 minutes a day without medicine or exercise, but with technology. Dr. Gibson, welcome to my show.
Thank you. So just in case the people are wondering, I use a device called Beamer, and basically it helps blood pump faster, and that brings a lot more nutrients and it removes the waste products. But what I wanted to talk to you about today was like CBD. I have a bachelor's of science in biomedical engineering, and then I got a doctorate degree in pharmacy, and I've been published in PubMed, and I just really love reading articles and trying to like explain. So like what CBD does, not only does it just bind to certain receptors, but it also, by reducing inflammation, that there's a lot of disease states where kind of is sort of the root cause of it. But CBD has also been used to improve existing medications. So like antibiotics and antifungals, as well as cancer medications, have far more effectiveness and, you know, less patient harm by having the CBD be there. For instance, like there are certain bacteria, they'll kind of send out like a little, you can kind of think of them as like a little scout ship. And the CBD is sort of like a great big net that grabs it and prevents the bacteria from causing this damage. Some people may not know is that CBD comes from the resin of the female plant. So the male plant is really kind of ignored. But CBD, if you go into PubMed, you can find articles talking about this from like the 1700s and the 1800s. And it's been used in ancient cultures for a long period of time. CBD is just one of about 100 different phytocannabinoids that are inside. So if you go into PubMed from about like the 1800s, we've had articles published. So CBD is something that's been a component of Western medicine. It's just because of things that happened in the 1900s, the average person may kind of think like, oh, this is like a weird or a new thing. And it's just more that our society kind of just doesn't, we kind of forgot about it. I guess I also wanted to just talk about the fact that you can purchase like a CBD isolate that's just going to have that one cannabinoid. You can also have, you know, a full spectrum, which is going to basically have everything, but it's going to be designed to have less than 0.3% THC. And then you can have like a broad spectrum where they take out the THC, but they might leave in other cannabinoids like myrcene, which helps people fall asleep a little bit. So that's also like in eucalyptus and mango and hops. There's linalool, which is from lavender. There's beta carophyllene, and that's helpful with arthritis. It kind of has like a peppery smell. There's pinene, which is obviously from pines, but also sage. There's humulene, and that's helpful to reduce appetite. So one can also get that from coriander and hops as well. Limonene, that's also in a supplement that's called quercetin. So if you happen to see that supplement, you'll see that big yellow color. That's like something else that you can kind of be aware of. And there's, I guess, like two major types of, there's the cannabis indica and the cannabis sativa. The sativa is a little bit more energizing. However, in more recent times, we've done a lot of kind of cross-pollination. And so it's better to look at the QR code and kind of be aware of like what other, are there additional cannabinoids? Are there, and you know, if it's possible to like ask from the farmer or from a bud tender, like, hey, how does this use? People tend to find this to be more energetic or whatnot.
That's pretty helpful. A lot of our patients, well, not patients, customers ask us what's the difference between full spectrum and broad spectrum. And so, I love that you jumped into full spectrum and explained, you know, what the benefits are and how it works, and that there is the 0.03% of a chance that they might have THC. all of our products are broad spectrum and they have no THC. But what I love about broad spectrum that it has CBN cannabinoid inside also, which really helps with sleep. What's your thought on the difference between the two? If people with anxiety, for example, come to you and ask you, which one should I use, broad spectrum or full spectrum? What's your recommendation usually?
I would like a broad spectrum just because people, like sometimes THC can make one a little bit more euphoric or a little bit like out of it. And that's also whether, and I mean, if you were to be prescribed the prescription version of THC, you're going to get the same type of side effect. So as a pharmacist, I was always cautioned to be aware of like, these are like some random things that might be undesirable. And so it's best to start with, you know, a small dose, but also if you know that something can be contributing, because one other thing that a lot of people don't think about is there's a small percentage of people who become or have a propensity to become addicted. And if you don't do a quick genetic test on yourself to know if you have that little altered protein, you might kind of just think, well, everybody else does it and I'm fine. And then if you feel, you know, if something bad should happen, you know, just like.
And that, you know, speaking of genetic tests, I want to go back to that, but a lot of people ask if they mix it with their current prescriptions, what the effects would be. And they tend to ask us that question. And we usually refer them back to their doctors because obviously, you know, we're not doctors. We can't make suggestions like that, but what's your recommendation if, for example, they don't feel comfortable going to their doctors, but they do want to know if CBD taken with their current prescriptions would be okay? Would the genetic tests be helpful in this case, or what would you recommend for them to do?
So genetic, like the company I was thinking of is more for a test that kind of describes how you're going to handle the medication, and it's a little bit more for the addictive component, but regards to like some of the typical like drug interactions, I can go over that. So if you're on a blood thinner called warfarin, that could be raised. If you're going to consume alcohol, that can, the alcohol will be raised if you're on a THC product. If you're on an older medication called theophylline for breathing difficulties, it could be lowered. If you're on like a seizure medicine, clobazam, that can go up. If you have liver problems, you should tell your doctor, like, hey, I want to take something that I think is going to overall help me, but I'm going to need you to run a liver test on me to just check how is my liver doing right now and how is it going to be doing in a couple weeks or a couple months. Certain people have had like heart disease, like if the heart isn't breathing right, or if you've had a stroke before, if you have like cancer, seizures, you should really want to have your doctor be involved.
Good advice. That's amazing. Now, my last question, and then I want to dive into, I want to have the opportunity to talk a little bit about your book that's coming up on probiotics, as well as, you know, where people can get a hold of you and a little bit about your podcast as well, the Food Health Facts. But before we go into those, in terms of pharmacies and CBD, so when Romaleaf started, the brand started really small. We weren't thinking of going so big initially. It was mostly for me to have broad spectrum, good quality, consistent CBD that was potent enough to help with my hemiplegic migraines. And then I obviously had to take it to a few different lab tests after the batch was produced to make sure that I know how much dosage I'm getting, because for me, the dosage is instrumental. Otherwise, like the exact amount of dosage is really important. Otherwise, my numbness on my body continues happening and that could lead to a stroke. So I took it super seriously and I did what I did, and that's how the brand came about. And then I have a few pharmacy friends who ended up taking our product into their pharmacies because they knew how much lab testing we've done and how the quality was so high. And we really started out in pharmacies, to be honest with you. That's how the brand evolved, and then chiropractor offices, and then we launched online. Now, the pharmacies have been really interesting because we come across some pharmacists that are so comfortable selling CBD, and then we come across some that are a little uncomfortable and they put the CBD, you know, in a room somewhere and only bring it out if a customer asks them. What's your thought on that? What do you think eventually will happen with the pharmacies and the CBD industry?
Okay, so somebody once told me that the pharmacy profession is made up of very cautious people who, like, and I know, like, in my own experience, like, I considered applying for med school, didn't quite get in, and then I was like, well, pharmacy is a nice, safe, good profession. So part of it is just kind of a lack of the historic viewpoint. Like, I was lucky enough to go on a tour of a really old pharmacy from the 1700s, and they made a point of highlighting, you know, the marijuana that, you know, in the 1700s and 1800s had been legal. I think sometimes maybe it might just be that we, like, because it's not a component of pharmacies of the curriculum in the classes, you have a lot of people that just kind of say, well, that was something that just wasn't talked about. So it's not that I just don't have time to really learn it on my own because I have a lot of other things going on in my life. And I kind of just made the decision that I knew a lot of people who were not being taken care of by the standard of care. And so I said, okay, what else is out there? You know, let me read books on this subject. Let me read articles. And that's why I wanted to remind everybody that if you go into PubMed and if you type in, you know, cannabinoid, and if you try to look at the oldest of stuff, you'll see that this is a plant that's been around for a long time. And it's just because of prior events, people would say, oh, like, we can't use it, but, you know, it's legal. We change it, like, it has less than 0.3%. So it's not a Schedule One. Like, it's not that form of it. So
right. And you know, I tend to explain to people that, listen, it's legalized in all 50 states. So think of it like a supplement. Eventually, once it gets approved at a federal level, it is going to be taken as simply as a supplement. Now, going back to what you're doing, and tell me a little bit about how you help entrepreneurs. As you know, this show is all about startups and evolved businesses, and mostly entrepreneurs are listening to it. So anytime I have the ability to help entrepreneurs, whether it's through my CBD products to ease their anxieties or just help them stay calm and healthy and focused, or by bringing experts like yourself for them to learn what they could do to be better. I love doing that. So please tell me a little bit about that.
So a few months ago, I started a consulting firm where I'll take different tests and I'll try to address, you know, different aspects. Like, for instance, in the city of Houston, Texas, the way they just put too much concrete down, water doesn't drain, so you have a lot of mold. And so, like, that's a fungus. And by the way, like, CBD is helpful at kind of reducing some fungus. There's a lot of, like, chronic low-grade inflammation that can happen. A friend of mine actually texted me a quick question about this concentrated random product. And it was about $70 for a very small bottle. And I told him, look, step one, why don't you go eat some organic, you know, vegetables? And then you're going to have some of the active ingredient of that product. You're alive, but you're eating a lot of regular pesticide filled products, which are not going to be killing you, but are causing a little bit of low grade inflammation. And there's a lot of foods that we might eat where, you know, we're not going to die from it. But, like, as an example, rice tends to have a little bit more arsenic than some other foods. And, you know, everybody knows that mercury is not good for you, but yet a lot of shots had a small amount of mercury in them for a very long time. And it was just kind of accepted. And then you have a lot more people kind of saying, well, are there other ways that we can maybe reduce our total toxic burden? That's kind of like my philosophy. And I use technology and I use some tests to try to advise people, like, this is how you can live a slightly healthier life. As being a pharmacist, most people, you just manage medications. You're stuck with those different disease states and you don't get well. I knew like maybe one or two people who they were diabetic and then they made radical changes in their lives, both in their diet and also in the junk around their lives, like in their environment, et cetera. And then they got healthier. So.
Yeah, no, I believe in that. Gluten is my number one enemy for my migraines. If I eat too much gluten, I know my migraine is going to be coming very soon. So I do believe that we can control a lot with the food, through the food that we eat. But speaking of getting our nutrients from food, I feel like the nutrients that used to be in food 40, 50 years ago, I don't believe that they exist right now in our food because of a lot of the way they're growing our food. It's not, you know, and then the pesticides and all of that. Now, do you think taking vitamins can also help, or do you think it's, you know, we should just try to eat organic food instead to get all the nutrients we need?
I think vitamins and supplements are the best ideal thing. It's just like my friend, for instance, he's kind of either been unemployed or he's been a student for like most of his life. And I was like, realistically, do you have 70 bucks? Like,
yeah,
because he's just like, he's kind of starting out. He hasn't been in the workforce as long as I have been. But like for somebody like myself, like, yeah, I'm not going to want to just sort of say like, what's the cheapest, simplest option. I'm going to want to assume like I have some savings. So like, I should want to spend a little bit so that way I don't have to be going to the physician and going to the pharmacy and like basically barely surviving, you know?
Yeah. Now going back to how you help these entrepreneurs with your technology, tell me a little bit about the technology behind it.
So one example is a pulsed electromagnetic field device. It's called a beamer. Mm-hmm. And it's about $5,000 plus tax. What it does, the electromagnetic waves move the oxygen faster, so that way, or move the blood faster, so that way oxygen gets delivered to the blood. And a lot of diseases like diabetes and cholesterol and high blood pressure, the heart has a much harder time pumping blood, so it does. There's less oxygen, and we all know if we need that for breathing and functioning. And there are some times where like, because of like prior, like running or whatnot, I strained my meniscus one time. And so like I put the beamer on my foot and a few hours later, you know, the strain, the annoyance, the difficulty, the pain I had around my knee just went away.
Now that's something that people have to come to you see you in person in order to do it, correct?
For the beamer, I could just be able, if they would like to purchase one, they could just contact me. And, you know, there's a separate website where I can just have it get shipped.
Perfect.
And the nice thing, it even has about a 30-day warranty where you can try it. And if you really don't like it, you can return it. But most people, it makes them feel better. So they're like, no, this is worth keeping.
Awesome. And then tell me a little bit about probiotics. Let's dive into that, probiotics and the book that you're actually working on, correct?
Mm-hmm. So it started about a year ago. One of my coworkers was talking to me. She kind of didn't think that they really could do much. And I was summarizing like different fermented foods and how there's a lot of different studies that talked about their effectiveness. Actually, even CBD actually kind of can play a role for like one specific bacteria that, but like lactobacillus and other probiotics, they're really helpful at like creation and metabolizing of different foods, like vitamin K. While you can try to go add Gouda to it, to your diet, so that way your bones are going to be a little bit healthier, but the lactobacillus helps make sure that it's like, the Gouda after you gets converted into vitamin K better.
And going back to CBD, patients of yours come to you and say, listen, I have anxiety. And you spoke about anxiety and broad spectrum CBD specifically earlier, where you said that THC can actually affect them negatively. And I've seen that also with some of our customers where, you know, they'll specifically ask for no THC, and our products don't contain THC. So they usually come to us specifically for that. But I guess my question is, I know that a lot of the studies, a lot of the research that's being done on CBD right now and anxiety is in phase 3 and 4, which means it's very promising. Usually anything that gets to 3 and 4 means it's working. Most things that don't work fall apart in phase 1 and 2. Tell me a little bit about some of the research that you've come across that pertain to CBD and anxiety, or even patients that you've heard that have seen success with it.
So a lot of the patients that I kind of had good success with it, like they'll start out with like maybe 5 milligrams a day for about a week or two, and then they'll slowly increase, and they kind of tend to like not need more than like 30 to 100 milligrams. It just helps with kind of that chronic low-grade inflammation. It makes sure that certain, because sometimes the endocannabinoid receptors, they can get, they're essentially using too much electricity, they're using too much voltage, and that creates additional stress. So by having them around, it just calms them down so that way they're at a better, more optimal level.
I like the way you described it. I just saw the visual in my head.
Oh, and I mean, like another mechanism, another way it works, it keeps, you know, the cannabinoids just kind of hanging around. So like, just like a serotonin antidepressant mechanism, it keeps it in that little receptor spot longer. So that way it's able to last for a longer period of time.
Got it. I love explaining to people that, you know, a lot of times they're like, oh, am I going to get addicted to this? Am I going to have to use this for the rest of my life? Because yes, it's helping me, but you know, I don't want to rely on something so heavily. And you know, my answer to them is, listen, CBD is think of it, CBD like a little messenger that sends messages to your brain for your body to produce more cannabinoids, because our bodies produce it already, right? And so,
and
I think that's the reason why we don't get addicted to CBD, because eventually you start realizing you don't need it as much. When I had anxiety and I would take it for anxiety, I remember it was more often, like my anxiety was probably appearing once a day or twice a day. Now I might have anxiety once a week, once every 2 weeks. So it's clear that my body's balanced. My body is already organically producing enough cannabinoids, and it's pretty balanced. Therefore, I don't get as anxious as I used to get. How would you explain that process if you're trying to explain people how this could potentially help them with anxiety?
So our body has a certain amount of receptors throughout our entire body. And when we take a medication, that goes and it binds to certain receptors, and then there's an effect that happens. And then if you're taking that medication hours later or the next day or continually, the body will say, oh, well, I want today to be like yesterday, so I'm going to turn down some receptors. So you'll need less medication. And like the chemists who kind of analyze how medications work, they made a point of kind of saying, showing that you could take a certain amount of CBD and you're going to have like one effect, but then as you keep increasing the dosage, you have less and less of an effect. So that's why, like for some of the prescription versions of CBD, they will recommend using a kind of a small dose. I mean, yes, there have been very low, like maybe a gram or 2 grams have been used in certain clinical studies, kind of like in that early phase 1 trial, just to kind of verify the safety and efficacy. But a lot of times, like, no, the body doesn't need as much. And the body kind of, if you're having inflammation, then your receptors are going to be hyperactive. And then by having CBD, your body is realizing, oh, that was a really too high set point. So like an analogy would be like with a thermostat, like, oh, we're way too high. We need to be in a different zone. We need to be in a different area. So let's try to stay in this newer, lower set point.
And then my last question pertaining to CBD is the older generation, the baby boomers. Our demographics tends to be anywhere from millennials all the way to baby boomers. Now, the baby boomers, a lot of times, are hesitant because they immediately assume it's marijuana, marijuana related. And a lot of them are just like, no, I don't want to touch that. I don't want to have anything to do with it. And then we have to explain to them that our product is hemp derived. It really, it has no THC, doesn't have psychoactive effects. And I find myself or our brand spending more time educating people about the benefits, especially that older demographics, than anything else. And sometimes we'll even give them free samples just for them to try and see the benefits. Yeah. And, you know, from my perspective, I think that's the age group that can really benefit the most from CBD, but yet they're so scared. Mm-hmm. And for me, it's like, what are you scared about? The worst that's going to happen is it's not going to work. So give it a try, you know? What's your recommendation to that age group?
I would let them know that the most common types of side effects from CBD, let's say you overdose, and let's say like you open up a bottle and you drink like one, and then you're still kind of like, your back's still sore. So maybe you're really dumb and you take a second one. Like you're like worst case scenario, your stomach's probably gonna be a little bit uncomfortable, which is like a typical side effect from any medicine. You may have to go to the restroom and stay there for a while your body excretes a lot of waste products. And you're going to probably be tired and you're going to want to go to bed. And then the next day you might feel a little bit sleepy and kind of regret like doing that. But those are really like the most common side effects that have been like reported in the literature from when they were trying to figure out like what happened. Like there was a study where it talked, and it was done in England, and it talked about ulcerative colitis patients, and they did a really very low dose, and so basically almost everybody said like, okay, this is not really like we're not having any side effects, and then afterwards at the end of the trial they're like, oh, I guess we should have given a slightly higher dosage, but people were just, you know, they were happy. So, you know, I would just try to reassure people, you know, like marijuana is a different thing because, you know, the newer versions of marijuana have been decided to be a lot more potent, but we're not dealing with marijuana. We're not dealing with THC. By federal law, we are required to have no more than 0.3%. When you're having an organic product, it's not going to be sucking up undesirable products like rice does.
Right.
So that's why it's great that we have transparency. You can just use a QR code. You can know, oh, like
the lab tests and everything. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, if you were to recommend our listeners who might be above the age of 50, 55, CBD for arthritis, would you say that taking the oil sublingually as well as using something topical would work best?
And
why is that? Could you explain a little bit why you think that would work best?
So one thing is that when it's put on the skin, it doesn't have to go through the digestive process. So the liver doesn't have to take it out. Because the point of the liver is to remove waste products from the blood. So by putting it on your skin, it's just going to affect, like it's going to go. Like in my case, I was given a sample one time in Wichita Falls from, it was made by a physician. She had her own product, and like I whacked my knee on something. I put, you know, 1 milligram drop around my knee, and like a couple hours later, I felt fine. Another nice thing about putting it in your mouth, like if you put it under the tongue, it also kind of avoids that having to go down through the esophagus, having to go down through the throat, and then having to be metabolized. But the secondary thing for why putting it in the mouth is nice is we do have a little bit of bacteria in our mouths. And like with people who have diabetes, I kind of explained to them, like if you guys would floss, you would probably lower your A1C by like 0.4%. And there are some studies talking about how CBD was antibacterial. So it kind of would improve like their oral antibacterial content. So that way they're feeling a little bit healthier. And then like a little bit as a secondary side effect, because there's less undesirable junk in your mouth, there's gonna be less undesirable bacteria in the rest of your body.
And to add to what you said, my explanation tends to be usually with pain, especially arthritis, for example, inflammation tends to cause it. And if you take the sublingual oil, you'll help inflammation from inside out. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't you say that would be the mm-hmm. case for them to really tackle the pain from inside and out? That mm-hmm. way they'll see better results.
Because when you have a lot of inflammation in one part of the body, it's going to cause like a continual like difficulty in another part.
And wouldn't you say inflammation is usually the cause for a lot of things that we deal with, not just like even with headaches? Sometimes mm-hmm. I'm like, I feel my head being inflamed in a way, like mm-hmm. it's such a weird thing to experience. But I like when I take CBD, I just feel lighter. I like in some ways, I just feel like my body can, my organs can breathe. I don't know if that's a good way of explaining what I feel after I take the CBD. Mm-hmm. But going back to tell me a little bit about, where listeners can get a hold of you, and then, a little bit about the food health facts, that you talk about. What do you talk about on that particular show?
I'll choose different supplements. A few years ago, I went to a nutrition conference and I got introduced to a lot more. And in pharmacy school, they kind of said, oh, well, there aren't studies for some of these things. And then I went into PubMed and I actually found some of these. So it was more just, my teachers are ignorant, so I wanted to share with other people, hey, there's a lot of studies out there. I mean, some, like I was talking to a cancer-based pharmacist, and she's like, well, what about any adverse side effects? And there was a nice study, and I did like one episode briefly on like, hey, there's some that are, these are kind of commonly used, but we don't actually have quite as much studies. So make sure you really talk to your doctor. But then there's a lot of other ones where, it's not going to necessarily, if you just have like one or two disease states, your doctor may not know. Because I remember one time I had an osteopath physician, and I asked him about a certain fungal test and a certain stool test, and he wasn't aware of it. But it didn't mean that the test was invalid. It just meant my practitioner just didn't know about it.
Interesting. And then I just have one more question. Based on your research, based on what you've heard from your patients, have you seen any correlation between CBD and patients with major migraines, like hemiplegic migraine, for example, that I've been suffering with for the past almost 30 years now?
I haven't dealt with the migraine specifically, but with the pain component, that's something where, it's been verified that if you have it, take it, and little by little, your pain should go down. But I mean, even prescriptive medications, they're good to a certain point, but they have their own limits. So that's why I also try to tell people, there might be some food that might be causing you a little bit of inflammation or pain that you might not know. Like in my own family, food that has tyramine, like cheese, for instance, contributes to the headaches. Like in my body, there's glutamate, which is very helpful for being an excitatory and energetic amino acid, and there's GABA, which is the more like sleeping promoting amino acid. And my body doesn't convert those well. So if I am not mindful of the numerous different ingredients that could be in a label, I could very well have a headache.
Now, going back to the beginning of the show, you mentioned that you help entrepreneurs. Would that be something that you can help them with as well, where you can recommend the food that could really help them if they want to be focused and hyper and energetic, or if they want to just kind of slow down a little bit? Is that something you can advise on and help?
Yeah, so like what it basically we would do is we do a little bit of a blood test, and then it gets brought to a lab, and then people kind of are aware like, oh, these are kind of a trigger. These are not a trigger. So, and that's why like sometimes like I talk about different topics on my podcast, and that's where you can also kind of consider maybe adding a supplement, because there are certain supplements that are kind of helpful for having more energy or some promote out sleep. So
in terms of supplements, what's your recommendation? What time of the day is it best to take in general? And is it better to take it with food or without?
So like with CBD, it's more of a fat soluble chemical. So you would want to make sure you're eating fat with your diet. Others, they'll maybe try to formulate it so that way it does dissolve well in water. But normally a lot of times I'll just take most of my supplements with food.
Got it. And then a lot of our customers ask whether they should take CBD on an empty stomach or full stomach. What's your recommendation on that?
I would just take it at the beginning of the meal. But I would just make sure that, you know, like, and just a silly example, like I had some Gouda cheese. So like there's a lot of fat in cheese. And so like, I would like put that, or I would use with some other food that has fat. I'm not going to go and reach for like some raisins that don't have much, they're basically a carb.
Now our product is made with hemp seed oil. That's our base. Mm-hmm. And it's very fatty, and you know, omegas and fatty acids and so on. Do you think that could really, you know, that's better, because in a sense people don't have to focus on eating it with fat so that their body can digest better?
Yeah, like that's, if you put it, if it's in a fat in existence, it's gonna get absorbed much more easily.
Amazing. Thank you for that. Remind our listeners how they can get a hold of you if they want to listen to your podcast or just connect with you. Where should they go?
So on Anchor, if they just type in Food Health Facts, if they want to, they can just email me. So DR for as an abbreviation for doctor, and then BEN for my first name, Ben, and then Gibson, GIBSON. So drbengibson@gmail.com. I'm on social media, but I use it a little bit more for kind of personal. So that's why, I mean, you can kind of like Google, look for me on LinkedIn. You can look for me on Instagram and Facebook, but the simplest thing, honestly, if you really just want to talk to me, just send an email to me and I will see it, and I will arrange a time where either I'll just email you back or I'll try to schedule a call.
Amazing. And drbengibson.com is also available, correct? Where they can get a hold of you. Awesome. Yeah. Thank you so much, Dr. Gibson. It's been so interesting to learn about CBD and how we can help improve the lives of entrepreneurs through some of the innovative ways that you are helping them be better entrepreneurs. Thank you for coming on the show.
Thanks for listening. Please comment, like, and share. Want to reach us? Connect on social media @Maria with the Y.